Tonight is part 5 in our series, Identifying and Conquering a Jezebel Spirit. Open to 1 Kings chapter 18. Not a whole lot of review tonight. All of this is recorded. You can go back and listen to the other services. But in 1 Kings chapter 18, we're continuing to take a look at Jezebel and what she did back then, and what God's trying to show us, because He mentions her over there in the book of Revelation, there in Revelation 2, I think it is. And as she is mentioned there, there's a purpose for that. It's like God is saying, okay, look, go back and study the original Jezebel. Find out what you can about her. Let me show you what I want you to see about this so you can protect yourself and be aware of it, and so on. Well, what had happened, King Ahab had married Jezebel. King Ahab was a Jew. Jezebel was not a Jew. So he did what God told the people not to do. Go all the way back to Exodus. God said, have absolutely no contact, no fellowship, nothing with these pagan people. But he did just the opposite. And he not only had fellowship, but he married one. So now here's Jezebel, she's the queen, and one of the things that she does is influence Ahab to introduce Baal worship. He sets up an altar and builds a temple to Baal. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah had gone to Ahab here a while back and told him, look, there's going to be a drought and a famine because of your sin, because of what you've done. Then God tells Elijah, go see Ahab. Tell him that I'm going to be bringing an end to this drought and famine. So Elijah goes to meet Ahab, and in verse 16 and then in verse 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Well, we already figured out that no, Elijah wasn't the problem. Ahab was the problem, because God clearly stated that, you know, that because of the sins of Ahab, you know, some things are happening here. You know, it's amazing how that somebody comes along and says, look, because of your sin, this is going to happen. Then it happens. And then the next time the person shows up, you blame them for the problem. And they told you what the problem was to begin with. Well, Elijah, verse 18, answered. He says, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And we talked about this last time we were together, how that in all of Scripture, so far, this is the only time I've ever been able to find anybody sitting at the queen's table and eating. It's usually always the king's table. So what this represents is that what God was showing us in this is that Jezebel, whenever a Jezebel spirit is working through somebody, the purpose is to usurp authority and to bring about rebellion to established authority. Even though Ahab was, he was a pretty rotten guy, he was still the king, and she was usurping his authority. And they're eating at her table. And what that represents is that she's gathering around those who are, you know, religious, they're prophets. She's gathering religious people around her to emphasize her standing within the community, if you will. Well, within the structure of a church, a Jezebel person is going to try to look very religious to the people around them, and will gather together religious people as much as possible to help support that person's position. And again, a Jezebel person could be a male or a female. So Elijah says, gather all the people together and the prophets. Two groups of people, Israel and the prophets of Baal. Now we pick this up in verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Now look what happened. And the people answered him not a word. Now, what is going on here? Remember when we studied this, we found that Jezebel had influenced Ahab to build altars and a temple unto Baal. The influence started with Ahab. But now look what's happened. It has trickled down to the people. In that the people did not say a word to Elijah. Look what he says. He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Now, let's just imagine that we were a few centuries prior to this, and this took place, let's just say, with Moses and the Israelites that had come out of Egypt. What do you think they would have done? We serve the Lord, right? Not now. The influence has been so powerful upon these people that they just, I mean, look what he says. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? A house divided is going to what? Fall. And what does it say in James? A double-minded man, what? Is unstable in all his ways. What are we seeing here? A house divided with a bunch of double-minded people. Two opinions. Now, look at this. They're of two opinions. Well, you know, God is God, but then over here, you know, you got Baal. They're vacillating back and forth. Why is that? That's because over a period of time, the Jezebel influence... See, it's not just about Baal. It could have been any other god. It just happens that it's Baal, okay? The Jezebel influence has gotten the people to the point to where they're not really sure what they believe. Now, it's been subtle. It's been very quiet. It's been very, you know, secretive in that it's been, you know, like just one step at a time. And so because, now listen to this, because this bunch of Israelites, these Jews, were so weak in their own walk with God, it opened the door for this whole thing to happen. If these people had been strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, so to speak, there's no way they would have given themselves over to Baal worship. No way. Or worship to any other god. But they were spiritually weak. Now, this is what will happen in a church where people are spiritually weak. This Jezebel spirit working through a Jezebel person will look for the weak people in the church. And listen, if you think that this devil doesn't know, you're wrong. You see, you might be able to fool a bunch of the people in the church, but you're not going to fool these devils. You know why? Because these devils will follow you home. Now, I'm not trying to spook anybody. The point I'm trying to make is this. They're not limited to your church attendance when it comes to observing how you live day in and day out. And they know what your walk with God is like. You know, me, you, all of us. They know what the walk is like. And they're going to search out for the weak. And they're going to try to influence the weak. And so, people in a church where there is a low level of spiritual maturity are more susceptible to a Jezebel attack. Now, again, every church is going to be attacked sooner or later by a Jezebel spirit. And I'm going to show you some more things kind of relative to that here tonight. But here we have these people of these two opinions. Now, here's what's happened. Number one, the influence had gone beyond Ahab into other people. That's going to happen every time that a Jezebel spirit is left unchecked. Every time a Jezebel person is just left to themselves to do whatever they do, then this is going to happen. More and more people are going to be swayed. More and more people are going to be confused. They're not going to... Now, please, keep in mind. One of the things that I'm struggling with in this series is trying to present to you just how subtle this is. And I know that some people aren't catching it because some folks... I mean, this is what I'm picking up in the spirit. Some people are thinking, yes, that's right, by these Jezebel spirits, they're just going around and just messing everything up. It's not that obvious. You need to understand, a Jezebel spirit, let me say it this way. The Jezebel person, a Jezebel person could be the person that you sleep with every night. And you don't pick up on it. Now, we're assuming you're married, okay? We're going to leave the sin out. A Jezebel person can come across as the sweetest, nicest person. This Jezebel here in Scripture that we're reading about, if you think this lady was walking around, you know, with horns and fangs and, you know, fire shooting out of her nostrils and her ears, no! No! If you think she walked around with a pitchfork and had a pointy tail, no! I'll guarantee you, there were times where she came across as being the nicest person you would ever want to meet. Because a Jezebel spirit, a Jezebel person, when I say a Jezebel person, I'm talking about a person under the influence of a Jezebel spirit. A Jezebel person will never be accepted if they are always mean. Because nobody's going to listen to them. So a Jezebel person at times is going to come across as being very concerned about your welfare. Let's pray about that. I'll be praying for you. How are things going? I've been praying for you. And let me just throw this out. Jezebel people can pray, but their prayers aren't going too far. Because you see, ultimately, a Jezebel person's goal is to manipulate to the point of gaining control over people. Now, this is something that you've got to keep in mind. And, you know, as you look around this room, you may say, well, I don't see anybody in here who would qualify to be a Jezebel spirit, but let's just pretend, okay? If there were somebody in here who was a Jezebel person, you don't think so. Because you say, but I know the people who are here. I know some better than others, but I mean, you know, I haven't seen anything in anybody here that would qualify as being a Jezebel person. And that may or may not be true. And I'm not saying that there is a Jezebel person in here. I'm trying to emphasize how subtle this is. Because it's something that is so subtle. Okay, how many of you remember the other day this horrible tragedy took place? There was a street maintenance person that was getting ready to go down. They had lifted a manhole cover off and they were going to go down and check some things out. And the person, he was leaning over and his buddies looked another direction. When they looked back, he was gone. And what he had done has fallen down into the manhole 20 feet and he died. He died from the injuries of hitting his head. But they couldn't figure out what had happened because, you know, evidently he had been overcome by some kind of gas. And they tested for over 5,000 different types of gases before they finally figured out which one it was that overcame him. They couldn't smell it. They couldn't see it. They had no clue. Even three other people, rescue workers, were overcome to a certain degree. One had to be care flighted to a hospital. And they had no idea. They tested the blood and everything. They could not figure out what this was. It was so subtle. And that is exactly the way it works with a Jezebel person. Because a Jezebel spirit knows if I come on strong, I'll never get through the front door. Typically, a Jezebel person, and I say typically again because these are not hard, fast rules as far as 100% of the time, this is exactly 1, 2, 3 how it's going to happen. But typically, a Jezebel person, a Jezebel spirit will want to work through somebody who has some degree of influence within the church structure. I mean, you know, Joe Pew Sitter, who never says a word to anybody, you know, Jezebel spirit's going to say, well, you know, I can't use him. But a Jezebel spirit will try to find that person who has some degree of influence. So anyway, what's happened here and what we've just read is that this influence has gone beyond Ahab to the people. It has spread within the camp, if you will, because it was left unchecked. Because nobody did anything. Ahab was the one person in a position to do something about this. Literally, what he should have done is had her executed. That's what he should have done. Go back and read the law. God said, somebody starts worshiping other gods and this, that. Kill them. Kill them. Take them out. And now, for those of you that are wondering, no, we don't take Jezebel people out in the back and... But number two, look at this. Elijah says, How long are you people going to straddle the fence? You're not denying Jehovah. Remember, I shared earlier that a Jezebel spirit is not going to try to get you to deny Jesus. but is going to work within the structure of the religious form of that particular church. It has to. It has no other choice if it's going to gain influence. So the people weren't denying Jehovah, but, you know, half of them is leaning over in this direction of Baal. And then the prophet stands up and says, what are you people going to do? Side journey. Do you understand? This is exactly what's going on in the body of Christ today. You say, what do you mean? Okay. How long are you, as the body of Christ, going to put up with all of these pastors and all of these preachers who were telling you that the book of Acts moving of the Holy Spirit is no longer for today? How long halt ye between two opinions? Jesus is Lord, and yet you deny the very person He sent to enforce His Lordship. It's going on. You see how subtle? You see what I'm getting at? You see what I mean? And we, you know, this is, how do you think the Apostle Paul would react in the majority of the churches today? If he were invited, well, Brother Paul, I'm so glad to see you resurrected. Hallelujah. So, what do you think about our service today? Is that what you call what you just did? I like the songs, but it ended there. You understand? Some of the songs he wouldn't go along with. See, this is what a lot of people... This is how I look at it. You can take your own position. This is how I look at it. What would the Apostle Paul... You know, we can talk about Jesus, all right? But too many churches want to put Jesus so far up on a throne that He can't be reached. So let's talk about somebody who walked the dusty trail with the rest of us. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul, a guy that the Holy Ghost used to write so much of the New Testament. What would he say about what's going on? Would he preach what you're preaching? No. Or, hopefully, yes. But yet, we've got the body of Christ halting between two opinions. Well, these people didn't say a word. Now, there are two reasons why they didn't say a word. Number one, there was no response due to fear. Due to fear. Remember when I shared earlier how that many times a Jezebel spirit will work through a person who has a strong personality? The reason that people today in churches do not confront a Jezebel person is out of fear. Well, you know what's going to happen? If you confront them, they're just going to bite your head off. And I don't want conflict. After all, you know, it's a church. We don't want to have conflict in the church. We want to get peace between our brothers and sisters in Christ. So, you know, well, just pray for them. Which, when we get to that, yeah, that's really about the only thing you can do. But it's out of fear that a lot of people don't confront a Jezebel spirit or a Jezebel person. It's because they don't want to get into it. Remember earlier in this series I shared with you that a Jezebel spirit will be not, a Jezebel person will be nice to be around until they are confronted over what they're doing. And as soon as they are, all hell's going to break loose. I'm telling you. And whoever confronts the Jezebel person will then become the object of the attack. Whether it's the pastor or anybody else in the church, that person will then become the object of the attack, and the Jezebel person will then begin speaking things against that individual who confronted them over what they're doing. And the words of a Jezebel person are going to be very well planned out, not by the person, but by the spirit feeding the words to the person. Remember, a Jezebel spirit is a master manipulator, and the words will be carefully chosen. One of the things that a Jezebel spirit hopes the Jezebel person won't do is get too carried away with their emotions. Because if that person gets too carried away with their emotions, then it's going to get out of hand even for the Jezebel spirit. You understand what I mean by that? If a Jezebel person makes too ugly of a scene, then all of a sudden people realize, oh my goodness, what in the world's going on here? So that's why a Jezebel spirit doesn't want a Jezebel person to get too carried away with their emotions. you know, don't go so far, but don't cross over that line. And so the people in the church want to keep peace. And so typically, a Jezebel person is not confronted. And that Jezebel person is allowed to, you know, continue to spread the issues throughout the church. Now, we're going to talk later on in the series about dealing with the Jezebel spirit, but I do want to mention this. I touched on it earlier in a sermon. One of the best ways to prevent this is to have a strong-spirited church. In other words, those in the church who are spiritually mature, because spiritual maturity is one of the things that a Jezebel spirit absolutely does not want to confront, because a Jezebel spirit cannot manipulate or control a spiritually mature person. And that's what, well, and I don't want to get too far into that tonight, but one of the things, typically a church split is not going to take place in a church where there is a high level of spiritual maturity. Now, you're always going to have some people get upset and leave, okay? I mean, that's just how it goes. So you just pray for them and go on. But I'm talking about, you know, the church splits, where half go this way and half go that way. Well, the second reason that there was no response was due to the conflict among the people, the confusion. These people, a Jezebel spirit, it's kind of like an early morning fog that kind of rolls in. You know, if you've ever, or really it could happen during the day, if you've ever seen it go from real sunny in like in the morning to foggy by the afternoon, if you just sit and watch, it's hard to tell when the fog really comes in. You know, you can start seeing some clouds come in, but it goes from being sunny, and then a few hours later, you know, it's so foggy in the middle of the afternoon, you've got to turn on your headlights and drive really slow. It's hard to tell when that comes in. Well, that's what happens with this Jezebel spirit. It brings in a spiritual fog. And it's hard for people to figure out, how did it get like this? And so these people were walking in a level of confusion. Well, again, if you have a high level of a higher level of spiritual maturity, this kind of confusion is not going to take place. And again, we'll talk later in the series about developing that spiritual maturity. But see, guys, you know, no church is immune to an attack, but not every church has to fall to one. And there are a lot of churches out there that not only do we need to hear this, you know, because, you know, as time goes on, we need to protect ourselves against it. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of churches out there that need to hear this series. Because any time a church starts making any kind of progress, a Jezebel spirit wants to try and stop it. And most churches get stopped before they make too much progress at all. Well, anyway, there's absolutely no clarity of reason, spiritual reason, within the people when this spiritual fog is ushered in by this Jezebel spirit. Now, one of the things that I can tell you is this. By staying on the cutting edge spiritually, what I mean by that is staying in the presence of the Lord, not just as a pastor, but also as a congregation, the Holy Spirit will identify to you the people that a Jezebel spirit is attempting to control or has begun to gain control. When I say gain control, what I mean is the person has yielded to that influence. Now, you're going to know, spiritually, you're going to know when this influence starts. But you can sear your conscience to the conviction of God and go with this thing. And we'll talk about that later. We've got a lot of stuff we're going to be covering, you know, as this series goes on. But the Holy Spirit will show you who to watch out for. Because you don't think God knew this was going to come before it ever got here? Absolutely. You think that God's ever caught off guard or surprised when these things take place? No way. So a Jezebel spirit is going to begin working, but the Holy Spirit knows this ahead of time, so the Holy Spirit can give people, you know, a heads up, especially the leadership in the church, unless, of course, it's the leadership in the church that's being influenced. But what we're seeing here in 1 Kings chapter 18 is how this Jezebel spirit was working on the people to divert them away from truth and anointing. But one thing I can tell you is that Jezebel would have presented Baal worship as something good for the people. I'm telling you, right, they probably had, you know how that under the Jewish law, they had, you know, sacrifices and so on and so forth. One thing I can tell you, I can for sure, they had the prophets of Baal offering sacrifices too. And they probably would have said something like, you know, obviously this is English, not their language, but they probably would have said something like, we are sacrificing this unto the great God of the heavens. Well, the Jews are thinking, well, yeah, that's Jehovah. And then they're watching this, and they're seeing a lot of similarities between what the prophets of Baal are doing and what they've always seen done in under Jewish law. Well, because of the similarities, and that's what, it's always going to be like that. There are always going to be enough similarities, enough scripture, enough references to Jesus to snooker the people away from the fullness of what God is doing and to bring in this fog of spiritual confusion. And so here's Jezebel. I'll guarantee you, she did everything she could to convince the people that we're worshiping the same God as you. We just have a different name for this God. But it's the same God. In our culture, we refer to him as Baal. Now, you refer to him as Jehovah. But we're talking about the same God. Now, you sacrificed your animals. Well, look what we're doing. We're sacrificing some of the same animals that you did. I mean, come on, Jewish people. Can't you see that we're all talking about the same God? Does this ring a bell for anybody? And you got Christians that are falling into it again today. Same thing. So Jezebel has this religious aspect, but it's bringing about confusion. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think Jezebel, here in 1 Kings, do you think that she was really, truly, genuinely concerned for the spiritual well-being of the Jewish people? Now let me show you something in the New Testament. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And look here in verse 24. This is a complete opposite of what a Jezebel is doing. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. In other words, this person in verse 24, and Paul is the one writing this, he's saying, look, we don't have dominion over your faith. In other words, we're not in a position to control your worship. We're not your God. We're not the boss of your life. But rather, we are helpers of your joy. That word helpers comes from the Greek word synergos. And the word synergos means, well, in this application, it's like one who stands beside another to encourage, strengthen, and help the other, encouraging them in their walk with God and their spiritual growth. So it's not that I'm in front dragging or behind pushing. I'm standing beside to encourage, to help. I'm like an Aaron or a Hur to you. Lifting up your arms. I'm doing everything I can to encourage you in your walk with God. I'm not trying to take dominion over your relationship or your life. Your relationship with God or your life. What I'm doing is, I am encouraging you. Look, don't get your eyes off God. Come on, let's pray. You know, let's keep going forward with Jesus and so on and so forth. It's the exact opposite of a Jezebel. A Jezebel does not know how to do 2 Corinthians 1:24. Jezebel has no clue. Now, earlier I talked about how Jezebel people are going to be nice at times, really nice at times. They have to be like that at times to gain your trust. But when a Jezebel person is Jezebeling, now listen to this. When a Jezebel person is Jezebeling, there is not one word that comes out of their mouth that has any other purpose but to manipulate and control and have dominion over you. Not one word. I don't care if they look at you and say, let's pray about that. If they are in Jezebel mode at that time, now, and remember, they're not always going to be Jezebeling, because there are times when they'll be, okay, there were times, I'm sure, that Jezebel, the first king's Jezebel, was nice to people, just being nice to people. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same thing today. This is why this thing is so effective. Because if you're not spiritually sharp on the inside, you're not going to know the difference between a nice day and a Jezebel day. And so when a Jezebel person is Jezebeling, I don't care if they look at you and say, well, let's pray about this. Because at that moment when they say that, the purpose is, yes, let's pray so that you think I'm really concerned about you and you will give heed to me, because now I've established myself before you as a person of prayer on your behalf. So now I'm gaining your trust. And then the next time I see you, so, you know, how are things going? Remember we prayed, you know, how are things going? How are things going? And you think, wow, they really do care. They're really concerned. Well, let me tell you what's going on. Oh, wow, okay. Well, you're not going to keep praying about that. And when they're in Jezebel mode, man, they're just Jezebeling. It's not, they don't care. A Jezebel spirit doesn't care about you. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. Divide and conquer. That's it. This is why it's so dangerous. The Jezebel person is not always going to appear Jezebel-y. It's not always going to be like that. Now, as the person progresses and goes deeper into this, they're going to be Jezebeling more than they're going to be nice. But see, a Jezebel spirit knows. It's got to play its cards right. It knows today we Jezebel, but tonight we don't, and Wednesday we don't, and next Sunday morning we don't, but on Monday night we do. It's step by step to gain. Hitler didn't become a dictator overnight, guys. It didn't happen like that. It was one word at a time. One word at a time. And some of his speeches would have been the kind of speech that a good person should have speeched. But that was to gain the trust of the people so he could take control and steal, kill, and destroy. So a Jezebel person, when they're Jezebeling, they cannot do 2 Corinthians 1:24. Now I want to show you one other place. Look in 2 Corinthians 11 to try and emphasize just how very subtle this is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, pick it up in verse 12. Paul says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Now you have to go back and read all of this to figure out what he's talking about. Yes, we're jumping in mid-sentence here. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, this passage gives us a type of description of how this Jezebel person is going to operate within the church. They're going to come across as a minister of righteousness. Not necessarily a pulpit person, but a person who declares the righteous works of the Lord. They're going to come across as a person of righteousness. And he says, but hey, even Satan comes across sometimes and appears as an angel of light. So, it's like he's saying, you had better be on your guard. Because this is going to be extremely subtle. And he says, look, they're going to be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Meaning, it's going to be very easy for some people to, Christians now, it's going to be easy for some to accept them because they are coming across as ministers of righteousness. When in reality, he says, no, they got everything but righteousness on their mind. Now again, remember I shared earlier how that a person under the influence of a Jezebel spirit is deceived. And they don't see it. And I don't care what you sit down, I mean, you explain it to them and talk to them and so forth. And unless they're still, as long as they haven't gone too far into this, they'll possibly see it. Okay? But I'm telling you again, for a lot of these people, by the time they get to the point to where they're causing problems, there's a good chance they're going to be deceived until the day they die. Now, I'm not saying they're going to hell, but you'll notice what he says here, whose end shall be according to their works. What works? The works that they're doing while under the influence of these devils. Now, here's what can complicate this. The people who are closest to a Jezebel person will probably deny that this is going on. If it's a spouse that's operating as a Jezebel person, then the other spouse, you know, male or female, either one, the other spouse will probably come to the defense of their Jezebel spouse. I mean, isn't that kind of what we do? Just come to the defense of our loved ones? I mean, think of it this way. How many times have you read or heard on the news where, you know, here's Joe and, you know, Joe kills two or three people, and then there's Joe's mama crying, but he's a good person. He wouldn't hurt a fly. He's a good person. Don't send him to jail. Well, now let me ask you a question, Mrs. Joe's mother. If somebody had done to Joe what Joe did to those people, what would you be saying about that somebody? Lock him up forever. Give him the needle. Put him in the chair. I'll throw the switch. See what I mean? A Jezebel, the spouse of a Jezebel person, or it could be, you know, the parents of the Jezebel child, or, I mean, however, whatever, are usually going to come to the defense of the Jezebel person. And you could sit down with like a 10-point checklist and say, well, let's just walk through this. Has your spouse done number one?
Well, yeah.
What about number two?
Uh-huh.
What about number three?
Done it. Yep. Four, five, six. Yep. On the way to, no, not number eight, but yep, 9 and 10.
So now you've got a checklist. You know, 8 out of 10 are checked, and the spouse agrees and will still say no. But I don't believe that it's a Jezebel spirit. Now, how in the world can that be? When they just sit there and admitted that the spouse or the child or the parent or you know, fiancé, best friend, I don't know, whatever it is. When they just sat right there and admitted, yes, these things are happening. And then say, but no. But you just agreed with me that the earmarks of a Jezebel in operation are taking place in this person. But now you're saying that it's not a Jezebel spirit, though you agreed it's the signs of a Jezebel spirit in operation. I don't understand this. Well, I just don't think that. And I just don't think that. And I just don't. Okay. So now we've got somebody who's living in a fog. And the somebody who's defending can be just as, will give you the shirt off their back. Do everything to help you. Spend all night praying for you. Whatever it would be. But yet, this deception is so effective. It is so powerful. It is so subtle. That, you know, we would say the person is living in denial. When the truth of the matter is, they may not be living in denial. Maybe to a certain extent. But they may be so desperately blinded by this and deceived by it that they don't believe it. And part of the reason they don't believe it is because, well, for one, you know, you've heard how that you can take a frog and drop a frog in boiling water, boom, jumps out. But drop it in cold water and slowly heat the water up to boil and the frog will stay in there and just, you know, die. Well, that's because the person closest to the Jezebel, the spirit, they've been there since the frog was dropped in the cold water. And while the temperature's been turned up, and they have not picked up on it. You say, well, for crying out loud, Pastor, what are they supposed to do? We'll pick that up next week. No, I won't know. I don't want to get stoned. Okay, he's such a... It's a toughie. And no, I'm not getting ready to say, well, if they're married, you divorce them. No, I'm not getting ready to... What I am going to say is this. You better put on some spiritual armor. And you better fight like you've never fought before to drive that thing out of the home. Because listen, if you don't... See, you may not think this means much, but if you don't, you know what's going to happen? You are going to stand before God in judgment as what earth we here on earth we would call an enabler. And every person who is destroyed by your Jezebel, mom, dad, brother, sister, spouse, whatever, every person who's destroyed by that person, you are going to stand an account in part for not dealing with it. You say, well, what if they deal with it and nothing changes? Then you go to your grave fighting the good fight of faith. And we're going to talk, how to deal with these things spiritually, the warfare that you have to engage and so forth. This is very, very serious. Very serious. Because nobody wants to think that they're living under the same roof with someone who has embraced a demonic spirit. Come on, who wants to think that? That's crazy. I mean, yeah, you know, your spouse or your kids come home drunk and high and all kinds of stuff. Well, you know you're dealing with a demonic spirit. But when you don't see any of that stuff, and you know that the computer is free of pornography, and I mean, you're not seeing all that stuff. It's just, you know, what's happened is you've grown accustomed to what's happening, and you're not dealing with it. You know, here's an example. Do you remember what Jesus did? Remember, he's talking to the apostles about, well, I'm headed to the cross, going to die for everybody. Now, this is my version. And Peter says, no, Lord, it's not going to happen. And what did Jesus do? He turned right around and looked at Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan, because there's nothing in you that's thinking according to the will of God. And Peter, he became one of the greatest in church history. And Jesus turned around, and you know, here's the thing. God told Jesus to handpick Peter. Remember, Jesus spends all night in prayer, comes down, gathers all the disciples together, and picks out 12. Hey, remember, you know, the fishing boat thing? I'll make you fishers of men, cast your net out, and oh, look at all the fish we're catching. All these great things that happen. 2 by 2, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. All these incredible things that happen. But the line was drawn. And when Peter starts acting up, Jesus looked right at him. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Don't you think that went over well? I can just imagine Peter. What? And I can just imagine, I mean, you know how sometimes they say, you know, the tension was so thick you could cut it. I'll guarantee you right then, there was some tension. Because these guys think, they're thinking of Jesus' best interest. And Jesus turns around and identifies it as a work of Satan. Man. Can you believe it? Well, that's just an example of how strong that you have to stand against this thing. See, look. Don't let your relationship with somebody else overshadow your relationship with Jesus. I know you love your spouse or your parents or whatever, kids. But you need to understand. Our relationship with Jesus is to be the number one important thing in our lives. Beyond our spouses and our children and our grandchildren and our parents. That relationship with Jesus has to be number one. Now listen, we have to be so in love with Jesus that we are willing to endure the heartbreak and heartache of losing our spouse or our children or our parents. When I say losing, watching them as they yield completely over to Satan. Watch as their bodies are destroyed so their spirits could be saved in the day of judgment before the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? We have to love Jesus so much that if it came to that, then that's what happens. And then we don't blame God for not doing anything. This is not an easy thing, but you need to understand the goal of a Jezebel spirit, yeah, it's to manipulate, control, and so on and so forth, and have dominion over your faith and all. But that's just the path. That's just the path. Ultimately, the Jezebel spirit, if it can, wants to completely destroy you for eternity, leading you in the direction of actually denying Jesus. Look what happened with Ahab. Look what happened with Israel in this story. It's not good. This series is absolutely critical because I believe I shared this earlier, not tonight, but in another sermon, how that I truly believe that this is going to be one of the greatest attacks, spiritual attacks, on the body of Christ in the last days, is the operation of a Jezebel spirit to bring about complete confusion and division in churches, and to bring about and to draw people completely away from their walk with God. Remember, Jesus said, if it's possible, even the very elect are going to be deceived. I don't want to be. I don't mind being a very elect, but I don't want to be deceived. Praise God. So now listen, we're going to continue in this and see some more about Jezebel here in Scripture. We're going to see more examples of the influence and the type and shadows of what it represents to us. We're going to learn about how, literally defeating, conquering this Jezebel spirit. Guys, remember, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. These things are already defeated by Jesus. Now it's a matter of us taking a stand and emphasizing that defeat. Praise God. We have been made more than conquerors.